Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, you're back here at the English College for this important anniversary, a college which was very much part of your own priestly life, your ministry, wasn't it?
Very much so. I came to Rome as a youngster, of 18-year-old, 1950, the holy year, and lived here for 7 years with only one break going back to England. It was all very different in those days. There were about 80 students, and the regime was different. The church was in a different age. And we talk about pre-Vatican II as if, you know, it was the Dark Ages. In fact, it was a very alive age in many ways. Clearly, the Vatican II changed a lot. But here in the college, the life, it was very exciting. We got on well with each other. We had all sorts of, apart from the study at the Greg, but we had different societies here. We had the Mezzo Fanti Society, those who spoke languages. We had the Newman Society. We had the Wiseman Society, for all for different reasons. So there was plenty to do in terms of, and our day was fully occupied with study and with walks around Rome. And then we had, I suppose, one of the most formative things in many ways were what we call the gitas, the holidays, which we had, not just the one day a week off, but at Easter and the summer. I mean, I went to all the usual places. Do you know, the last conversation I had with Blessed Pope John Paul, we were talking about John Henry Newman and whether he'd be beatified, and Pope John Paul said, you need a miracle. I said, yeah, the English aren't as good as the Italians at miracles. I said, when I was a student, I went to see Padre Pio, and his face lit up. He said, yes, me too, he said. So then I went to San Giovanni Rotondo, and then all the other places we went to around Italy, but we met the people, and Italy was a different place then, and even though we went round in cassocks and things, it was very familiar and very lovely and very informative and forming.
This was under the pontificate of Pope Pius XII, yes. Wasn't it?
Yes, this was Pope Pius the XII, who was, I mean, I had a private audience with him. I had two brothers here, and then my parents came out for ordination, and we had a private audience with Pope Pius XII, and it was all very solemn indeed. And my father was dressed in morning suit. My mother looked, I must say, very elegant in black and mantilla. And yes. Things were much more formal then, I think, in those days. But then, of course, I came back to the college in 71 as rector. Times changed, and I had to kind of mould myself and try and mould the students into a slightly the same reality, but different ways of being formed.
What do you think were the main changes? What did you find most surprising, perhaps, when you returned as rector?
Well, what I found most surprising, that we're verticomers, I must exaggerate this, but our life from 5:30 in the morning when you got up until where we're kind of rules. Well, the students, when I came, that had all gone, really. I don't mean there were no rules, but it was a very relaxed and possibly, while I think we probably had too many rules, I felt there were things that had gone a bit too far. So we needed some basic rules about prayer, about study, about the sort of discipline of life that you need when you're running a community. And so I had to kind of develop that when I was here as rector. I knew some things had to change. For instance, you'll be interested in this, Philip. Women were not allowed in the refectory, no women. And the students were up in arms about this. I remember one student going up and said, well, we played football with this team and they brought their girlfriends. We want to invite them. I said, no, they can't come into the ref. So there was uproar.
Were they allowed in the college at all?
Yeah, they were allowed in the salone, the waiting room. But there was absolutely knocking on my door saying, we thought this was a Christian community, you know. I knew that would have to change, but I didn't want them changing it for me, you see. So I had my opportunity very soon afterwards because an Anglican bishop rang me. So I said, well, you must come to lunch on Sunday. He said, well, I have my wife with me. So I thought, please, I said, bring your wife with you. And anyway, she came.
She was the first woman in the refectory.
She was like a Mrs. Proudie, you know. She had a big hat on. And I told her she was the first woman, and she swept through the students waiting. The point was made. I had no argument after that. It was all that sort of little things.
Interestingly, during that time, you also started the practice of having Anglican ordinands, didn't you? Young Anglicans training for the priesthood coming here on an exchange programme.
Yes, that was very important, really. We had just for one term, and they enhanced the life of the college, and I think they enjoyed it very much, the experience of Rome. And they asked for me to send two back as well to an Anglican college, which I did, though it was rather more difficult. I was only able to do it once, I think, in my time, because of our term time and the Gregorian. So that was important.
And do you think it was a formative experience for your students here as well?
Exactly, because, you know, most of them had grown up in very Catholic sort of families, hadn't met many Anglicans, especially Anglican students, for their priesthood. And a lot of them made friends among them, and that was good, and reminded them that when they go into their parishes, to have friendly relations with the local vicar and so on. And then, of course, when Donald Coggan, the Archbishop of Canterbury, came, that was in my last year as rector, he was coming to, and it was proposed that he should stay at the college, which he did. And we had lots of interesting people here for lunch, visitors, great famous English men and women, Harold Macmillan, the Prime Minister, Leonard Cheshire of the Cheshire Homes, Muriel Spark, the novelist. I remember her coming, and we had lunch, and afterwards she was sitting in the common room with the students, and they were asking her questions. So he said, "I only think of the title after I've written the book. So give me a title," so the students have to think of a bright title of a book for her. So one lived kind of, the main life, of course, was with the students, but also I was in contact with the Vatican, contact with the British community here, contact with the Gregorian and the other rectors. It was a very full kind of life.
The college very much then continued to play its role of hospice, a place for the English here in Rome, didn't it?
Yes, and I like that aspect of the college. It goes back to what it was before the Reformation, and it's always been the English place here in, I better say Welsh too, here in Rome, and even more so now. And of course, in my time as rector, I had a lot of ecclesiastics here, including someone called Cardinal Wojtyła. And I thought after the lunch when he spoke, I thought, he's a promising chap.
Let's fast forward to the present day. The college is just concluding a year of celebrations, marking the 650th anniversary of its foundation as a hospice. What is the significance of this celebration for the students today? That the high point will be a mass, won't it, in the chapel?
For the students, it's just a reminder of the history, the extraordinary history of this college, from a king's hospice, which it was, to realising it's the oldest English institution in Europe, to understand it also the transition from hospice to seminary and the glorious years of the martyrs, their extraordinary, extraordinary bravery. And then up to the present day, when you have students, and thank God there's a good lot of students here now from different parts of England, it seems to me that this continuity of formation in Rome and going back to England is something that you kind of taste as you go along, not only with the daily life, but also with particular celebrations. And this, of course, is a particular one.
You mentioned the martyrs, and in fact, they'll be at the centre, as it were, of an audience that Pope Benedict is having with the students and staff of the college.
Yes, of course, we're delighted that all the students and the staff and a number of our bishops, with Archbishop Nichols and the other archbishops, are coming as well for this audience with Pope Benedict, who will, of course, I'm sure, address us, remembering some of our history, and how, of the colleges in Rome, it's one of the oldest. This is a very special place here in Rome.